Glory to God. Well, we're going to look at the next section in what we've been discussing concerning the vision. And we're going to look really at the two together because they're totally inseparable, really. We're going to look at manifestation and glorification. Praise God. This is where we're all headed. Every sermon you've ever heard, every trial you've ever gone through, every single event in your life, everything that God's hand has done in and through you, this is where we're headed, in the personal sense. The glorified sons of God. And this is the next great event that we're looking to. Because when, at the time of appointed of the Father, the sons reach maturity, that's when God will say, Jesus will say, come up hither. That's the rapture. And so this is where we're all going. We've been looking at the kingdom of God, which is the ultimate and general thing that God is leading us to. But in terms of our personal walk with God, we're looking at sonship. Glorified sons. Praise God. Now, so that's manifestation, glorification. Let's begin looking in Scripture at what's happening. You see, it's very important, as we know, to faith, to have the right attitude. We know that, you know, we often think, oh Lord, I need deliverance, and the enemy, and well, that may or may not be the case, but friends, God is working the right attitude, and to have the right attitude, we need a vision, we need to know where we're going with this, we need to know what God is saying, and we can often misinterpret our trials, the things that we're going through. But friends, when we see, and I can't talk about the whole of Christendom, I can't make a general statement about all Christians at this point, but in this assembly, for myself, and I trust you can for yourselves, the trials we're going through is divine preparation for sonship. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, we'll start with, I mean, there are other things I want to look at earlier, but let's start with verse 18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, for I consider, do we? Let's consider, let's reckon, let's impute it, let's make that account, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Glory to the living God. He goes on, we'll look at it later, but he goes on to explain the revelation, the unveiling of the sons of God to the groaning creation, to all creation. All creation, man, animals, what we see around us, all creation is groaning under the weight of sin, waiting for they know not what, but you and I know. The unveiling of the sons of God. Now, we're going through some things, whether you know it or not. Now, yes, there are certain trials that we fall into, trials of our faith, but Paul here is going far beyond trials of our faith, although that's an important part, where we're being matured in the faith. But this speaks of our rejection of, or of being rejected by man's religion, by the world and its religion, even by many charismatic Christians. Us and our message is rejected. That's part of the suffering that is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now let's have a look at this. We also see in Revelation 12 something else. I want to link a few scriptures here with this. Revelation 12, before we get deeply in them, because I just want to make this point that we need this vision. Chapter 12 speaks of that sun-clothed woman. And Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4, speaking of Satan and the dragon. And this is the bit I want to look at. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. The trials we go through, the devil is trying to do, first of all, he's trying to abort the man-child. He's trying to abort the man-child, and secondly, and he's doing it in two ways, it's very subtle, trying to discourage us, the trials we're going through. I'm fed up with this, and off we go. But you know, and the other way he's doing it, of course, is in a religious way. He's trying to get us all worked up with zeal. So if he doesn't succeed in discouraging us, what he'll do is get us all zealous. Let's get the thing going. And he'll plant a good idea in our minds, a religious idea, a gimmick for evangelism or for something. Now, centuries ago, Abraham and Sarah had a good idea and produced an Ishmael because they didn't want to wait on God for the Isaac. These are all introductory remarks about where we're going with sonship. Friends, one of the hardest things we have to do, and this is why God has called us to it, is to wait on him. To wait on him until the time appointed of the Father. Because it ain't going to happen before then. Not one second before. And these trials and tests and the sufferings we're now going through, the rejection, the persecution, the ridicule, and most of our rejection and persecution in the end time is going to come from religion, including tongue, sadly, tongue talking, religion going to reject us, persecute us. That's all part of the divine preparation for sons. Let's have a look at this. And this is something that we're going to really need to hold on to in this end time when we go through trials. This is going to help with our attitude. There's not a lot happening at the moment. Others are boasting of great outreaches and great activity. But you and I, if we're bowing the knee, if we're walking as disciples, you and I are closer to Jesus than they have ever got or will ever be with all their activity. Because he is raising up sons. Now let's get into some scriptures in this. Romans chapter 8. We'll start with verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14 and following. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These and these alone are the sons of God. What is it to be led by the Spirit? To go to church more often? To pray more often, to read the Bible more often. That may have its place, but I don't believe that's it at all. To be led by the Spirit is first of all to believe. God is maturing our faith. He's maturing our faith. And if you find yourself believing God in a time of trial, you're being led by the Spirit. What else is it to be led by the Spirit? To be crucified. If you're truly being led by the Spirit, you'll be experiencing the cross working in our lives. So, are we still convinced that we're being led by the Spirit? Let's continue to read. The Holy Spirit is leading us into the fullness of Christ. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a threshold experience, and this is all part of sonship. Let's read why this is. And this is where the separation comes. Right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Because we did not receive the spirit of bondage or servitude again to fear. Right? There's no fear in what we've received, no legalism, no bondage. But we received the spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of sonship. He is the spirit of adoption. By whom we cry out, Abba Father. We cry out, Abba Father. God raising up sons to reveal the heart of the Father by the Spirit. You can't cry, Abba Father, except by the Spirit. You can't call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit. You can use words, but you won't be able to say it convincingly. You won't be able to say it savingly. It won't be said in a way that means anything. It's only by the Spirit do we call him Father. Can we call him Lord? If we are not seeing sonship, we need to ask if we've truly received the Holy Spirit. Because he is the Spirit of adoption. He is a Spirit of sonship. He's a Spirit. There's another place where he says that he's sent for the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. Not children, it's a mistranslation, sons of God. And if sons, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Notice the tense, it shall be revealed in us. So the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So that obviously that's a future event. Creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because creation itself also will be delivered, praise God, will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. For we know that whole creation groans and labours with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, adoption. Let's also go to Galatians chapter 3 and 4. Galatians chapter 3. We'll start with verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave, free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There are other things which we'll look at concerning our sonship, but we'll start with those two. Those two. Sonship is a revelation. Now here's various aspects. Various aspects within this. First of all, and we need to make this clear, every truly born-again believer, everyone who is genuinely saved, who knows Jesus, is a son, legally. Legally, they're a son. Another aspect, taking it on from there, every believer that has had the genuine experience, not some strange thing that happens today, too many strange things, but the genuine experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not only legally a son, but also has the confirmation in their heart of their sonship. We've just read that, whereby they cry, Abba Father. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of sonship, gives witness of that relationship. But here's the difference. Not all are going to experience it. Only those who are taking heed to the deeper word, the cross, the deeper life, the crucified life, total commitment. Only those, and we read it in Romans 8 and verse 14, only those who have completely yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit will experience their eventual unveiling as sons to groaning creation. Just because we have a thing legally doesn't mean we will experience it. Now there's some things happening in our lives, isn't there? Not only have we received the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit of adoption, but God, because he's called us to this experience from before the foundation of the world, put something else within us as well. And that is a deep, deep hunger for him. An insatiable thirst and hunger for him, no matter what it costs us. And we were never satisfied until we began to hear the message. Now, a lot of Christians at this point will start throwing stones at me, getting angry and upset and getting all uptight because of what I'm saying. Yes, but I'm a son, how dare you? You're not the only ones. Okay, but why is it then when I take this message and the message of the cross, how is it then it is rejected? Answer me that. What spirit would reject God's word? The Holy Spirit? So you can make all the fuss you like, friends, but you can't answer me that question. God has put within us his spirit, and my sheep hear my voice. Praise God for the remnants who are not satisfied with the present level of experience, but to desire to go all the way with the Lord, even if it means something as drastic as their own death, the crucifixion, being crucified with Christ. Total commitment, because this message and the trials that go with it, the rejection, the persecution, the separation, all the trials of our faith that go with it, as we submit to the hand of God in those trials, our faith is being matured, because that and that alone is a son. Babies are legally sons. They're legally, children are legally sons. They are legally heirs. Regeneration makes us children. John chapter 1 verse 12. It says sons, but it should be children. Being born again, we're children. We're part of God's family. Only children can be adopted as sons. Paul is the background of Paul's argument here is Roman law. That at a certain age, at the time appointed of the father, those that have been in the family, the children, are then placed as sons. That's adoption. It's not what we have today where, you know, you get an orphan adopted into another family. That's not the type of adoption we're talking about. Only children can be placed as a son. But God isn't going to place anybody. It's those that have submitted to the furnace of affliction, who are maturing in the faith, whose faith has come to maturity through the word, through trials, the work of the cross, and at the time appointed of the Father, they will come into their full inheritance. Now, I received a deliverance the other day, praise God, through this word. It's been in scripture all along, and going through a trial and right attitude, that the Lord quickened, he reminded me, Romans 16, I believe it's verse 20, where the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That is a son's inheritance. That is the fullness of our redemption. That the one who's been tormenting us is shortly going to be crushed, that term bruised, is crushed under our feet. Genesis 3:15, God made that promise that he would send that deliverer, the proto-evangelism it's called, where we're told that man, or the Son of Man, will bruise the serpent's head. And that happened at Calvary. And it's going to happen in our life too. Just as the Son, the Messiah, bruised Satan at Calvary. So now, praise God, as the work of the cross is completed in our life, the God of peace will bruise Satan under our feet shortly. We're going to come into that full authority, the full blessing, the privileges, the rights, the authority, the anointing of sonship. We have that now by faith in Christ. We have it now. But we are being trained. We are hidden. And we don't like that. We want to go out and Ishmael everything, and good idea, and evangelize and be seen and be heard. But God is not going to allow it. Because there has to come an unveiling. And so we're being matured in our trials, in our tests. The work of the cross, bringing about the fullness of Christ. And then we are going to be sent forth with those full sonship privileges, that double portion, that anointing, that authority, that irresistible anointing. A lot of us are trying to exercise faith in a realm that we're not yet ready for, because we've got it in our hearts, like old Moses got it in his heart to be the deliverer of his brethren, and he went out and slew an Egyptian thinking that was God's will, that's how he was going to do it. And it was another 40 years, wasn't it, in the wilderness before that burning bush, and he got sent. He was a son all that time, but there had to come a right time. There had to come a right time. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen gives that account. But the interesting thing that he says there is, when the time of deliverance drew near, God raised up Moses. So, Israel, coming out of Egypt, Israel was hidden in Egypt. And when God brought Egypt out at the right time, they astounded the world. God went with them, that anointing, that protection, astounded the world with the supernatural signs and wonders. But after a few years in the wilderness, what happened? Only two, Joshua and Caleb, of that generation went in. You may say, I'm legally a son. Just read it to you. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ. Oh, I got faith in Jesus. Oh, I'm a son of God. How dare you say it's only overcomers? The trials reveal it, friends. The wilderness, the trials declare it. Not all, we're told in 1 Corinthians 10, not all who came out of Egypt through Moses inherited the land. What about Joseph? Jacob had 12 sons, but the revelation was given to Joseph. And he suffered. Let's read that in Psalm 105. We're talking about the sufferings of this present time. There has to come an unveiling, and there are two things that are conditional on that unveiling. First, our maturing, and secondly, the Father's time. The time appointed by the Father. Psalm 105. And verse 16. This is so prophetic. You talk about the inspiration of Scripture. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. Praise God. There is a famine in the land at the moment, isn't there? Famine of hearing the word. He destroyed all the provisions of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass, or the revelation that he was given. Until the time his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house, ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Sonship, if you like, but how did he suffer? Now listen to this in verse in verse 19. And this is what's happening to us. Until the word that we have been given comes to pass, it will try us. You and I are being tried at this very moment by the word that we are believing. And as we remain faithful to this word, it will come to pass in due time. At the time appointed of the Father, we're going to get that release. The circumstances are going to change. We're going to go from slavery to sonship, from prison to liberty. Full authority. Pharaoh said to Joseph, only I am greater than you in the throne of my kingdom. Joint heir with Christ. Have we conceived of this? Have we grasped that? Jesus. Me and my healing, me and my finances, me and my whatever. Friends, have we grasped the full nature of our sonship as joint heirs with Christ? This is what we are waiting on God for. As we go through our trials, he's preparing us to receive that anointing, that authority, and eventually, praise God, beyond that, to rule and reign with him. We are going to be unveiled to groaning creation. We're suffering now because they're speaking to us, treating us like slaves, like servants, like whatever, the things that people kick about for fun, because we're not yet seen. They do not see. It happened to Jesus. Who is this man, this son of a carpenter? Why is he speaking such great grace and wisdom and power? How dare he? They were offended. Those of his own hometown. We know his parents. We know his brothers and sisters. Who is this man? And they refused to believe. They could not see the glory of God. They can't in us. We are hidden, just as Israel hidden in Egypt. The time appointed of the Father, we are being matured. There's no point kicking and screaming. The man-child is being formed in the womb. The message of restoration of the headship of Christ, the Holy Spirit has implanted the man-child in the womb of the church. And just as Israel was hidden in Egypt, so we are now hidden in the womb of the church. And at the time appointed of the Father, we're going to be brought forth, we're going to be unveiled as sons. But our faith must mature. You see, we read in Galatians that the Jews, because they're under the law, they were sons. They were given that inheritance. They were legally sons. But they couldn't experience that sonship. They weren't adopted. They weren't placed in that position as sons until they came to faith in Christ. And then in that situation now, we're also waiting. We are sons, we're told legally, we are sons, and we've been placed in that position as a son, so we have sonship within our hearts legally, and it's been confirmed, but we're now waiting on God for that faith. It's no good saying, now that I've got faith in Jesus, I'm a son, because that faith has to be tested. That faith, and we have, praise God, we've got faith in Jesus, so we're sons. But that faith has to be brought to maturity through trial. It has to be sonship faith. Remember, we're children by regeneration. We're sons by adoption. Now, if we've been placed in a position as sons, that requires maturity. That means we are going to take on the responsibility of revealing the Father's heart to groaning creation. We are going to move just as Jesus did. The fullness of Son is a fullness of Christ. We're told that in Ephesians 4. Joseph was in prison until the time appointed by God. Yes, the Pharaoh was involved, but God had a right time for his release. in Ephesians. It's also working with us as well. You see, this is the only thing that really makes sense. This is the only answer that really fulfills or satisfies me as to, I'm not saying why, Lord, you know, in that sense, but as to why I'm going through what I'm going through. This is the only thing that will provide all the answers. That I'm waiting on God. Why does... Because it seems a complete failure. In faith. Under an anointing. I took the word out. To believing, tongue-talking, Bible-believing Christians. And they rejected it. Well, how? How can that be? Well, it's God. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 13, so the fivefold ministry has been restored. And as I started to say, the headship of Christ has been restored. And the point about the headship is that the sovereign presence and leading direction of the Holy Spirit has been restored. And so that's the Holy Spirit, praise God, implanting the child in the womb of the woman. This is what it is. In Ephesians 4 verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature, complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is sonship. That is the man-child. Again, going back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. My little children, for whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. There it is. Christ is formed in us. The fullness of Christ being wrought in us by the Spirit through the work of the cross. And at the right time, the man-child will be brought forth. Now, if we look at that in Revelation chapter 12, great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, on her head a garland of 12 stars. Being with child, she cried out in labour and in pain to give birth. So we're right there in that position, that transitional position. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head, speaking of his authority, his power. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth. Dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. He's trying to abort the man child. He's trying to destroy. That's his target. He hasn't attacked the woman. Doesn't say he's attacked the woman. He hasn't attacked the woman's head. He's standing right there where the child's about to come out. He's just standing there waiting with his jaws open. As soon as the child pops his head out, he's going to attack. That's where he is. That's why we're targeted the way we are. But that's why we're also preserved in the womb. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Child was caught up to God and his throne. As soon as it was born, this child was caught up. Woman fled into the wilderness. Now let's look at this. A lot of people say that this man-child speaks of Jesus. Well, there are several reasons why it doesn't. First of all, this is a future event. It's a future event. Secondly, the child was caught up. Jesus was crucified. Thirdly, the woman fled into the wilderness. Mary fled into Egypt. It would have been more specific than that. And then it speaks of the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And it's speaking of plural, not singular. And then we're told in verse 7, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. Dragon and his angels fought. They did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth. His angels were cast out with him. That hasn't happened yet. He's still in the heavenlies. So the devil is going to be cast out of his place at the moment of dominion, where until Jesus comes he's God of this earth, God of this world, and he'll be cast to earth. Why? Because the overcomers, the first fruits, are going to be raptured, and we're going to be part of that warfare. Michael and his angels fighting with the dragon, God's presence in us and through us. The sons of God have finally taken their place, and that old dragon that usurped our situation, remember that scripture where Satan will be bruised under our feet shortly, he'll be cast to earth. His dominion will be limited to the earthly realm. No longer can he affect things in the heavenlies, because that's where we're going to dwell. Praise God, this is what we're destined for, ruling and reigning with Christ in the heavenlies, and the devil and his angels cast to earth. And then comes tribulation, and immediately he's then going to persecute the woman, the church. Great tribulation is to purge the unbelieving church, that which is left behind when the overcomers have been raptured, caught away. And so these are the events that we're getting ready for. These are the events that are taking place now, in our, that are, we're getting ready to experience, that we're being prepared for, that are taking place, that are going to take place in our experience. So remember, we said about sonship being a legal position, confirmed in our hearts by the Spirit. We're now getting ready for the final aspect, which is the manifestation or the experience of it. We are being prepared for this experience to be caught up, because there are some that think that the sons have manifested now, the kingdom now people, the dominion theology. They call themselves, you know, the manifested sons, and they confuse Christian perfection with the rapture. They say that, you know, the rapture is when Christians come to perfection. It's a very subtle deception. The rapture will take place when we come to perfection, but it's not the same thing. And so we're being prepared for it. We're not yet manifested. We have sonship put upon us, and we're being prepared for that. The trials, the tests, the meetings, the word that we're hearing, the work of the Spirit in our life. Because we have what Jesus had. He said, those who believe will do the works that I do, and also greater works, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Now that is authority. God given that divine authority in his name, you and I. And he will do whatever we ask the Father. We will do what he did, and greater. Sonship authority. Now, we're coming into that. We're maturing into that. And we can't go beyond the level of our present anointing. And so what God is saying, I believe, and this is where God wants to encourage us in this, is as we wait on God, instead of trying to create a revival with our flesh, I want to get this right. I'm not accusing anybody of fleshly zeal at this point, but just to settle down, waiting on God instead of trying to get something going. A lot of Christians are trying to, well, we know the result of what's happening, trying to get a revival going. But as we wait on God in our trials, spend that time each day in prayer, seeking God about these things. Maybe there's areas in our life that do not speak of overcoming. Perhaps there's areas in our life that we're not overcoming. Areas of sin or disobedience that we're just not dealing with. You know, areas that are not Christ-like. Right, now is the time, as we consecrate a time each day or between you and the Lord, not looking for a result. Don't look for deliverance. Don't look for the result. Don't look for some great anointing. Don't look for the manifestation. But as you just make yourself available each day and commit a time in prayer to Him, eventually we're going to get that breakthrough, that healing, that deliverance in that area. Because God, what He's doing with that, He wants a relationship. He's allowing that, He's exposing that, so that He can get a relationship out of us. A dialogue. This situation is absolutely impossible. Is anyone, is it just me that's in an impossible situation at the moment? Right. So there's no point in trying to do anything about it, is there? So the only thing that's going to work is a relationship. Because it brings us, it keeps us before God, broken, humbled, hopeless, helpless apart from Him. None of us are hopeless or helpless, but, you know, apart from Him. And so we're just being in His presence. We've acknowledged all that we know to acknowledge. There's no more we can say or do. We have come to an end of ourselves. And so now, thank God, we are waiting. Just waiting. And it's in that waiting that sonship faith is being matured. And at the right time, we will experience deliverance. All He wants of us is to make ourselves available to Him, to present ourselves on that altar. Because we're seeking Your presence. Father, I want Your presence. Lord, Your presence. I want Your presence. I want You. Want You. Why? Why do we want Him? To be delivered. To get out of debt. To be healed. To be blessed. Oh dear, okay. I thought it was because You loved me. I thought it's because You wanted to just experience My presence. Because I'm Your Father and You're My Son. Have any of you got children? Mummy, Daddy, give me. I want. Oh, give me. I want. Give me. I want. Well, how about talking to me for 10 minutes? How about developing a relationship? How about a dialogue? Yeah, I want this. Just give me that. Can I do this? That's how we are with God. That must hurt, mustn't it? Or your mum or dad asks you to do something. No, I don't want to do that. And then you come in 20 minutes later. I want this and I want that. After you've just disobeyed them. How do you think they're going to feel? So you've done it with God, haven't you? No, I don't want to do that. And then we come to a meeting. Anoint me with a gift. Ah, oh, praise God. Good job He's got a sense of humour, isn't it? Good job of that grace. Where would we be without His long suffering? So, praise God. Do you see what we're doing? As we wait on God, just make ourselves available. Creating, if you like, or perfecting that sonship relationship. We, through the greater works, that anointing, that authority, when we are ready to receive the fullness of it, in the time appointed of the Father, we're going to reveal the heart of the Father. Now, how do you reveal the heart of somebody you don't know? And that's why we're waiting, to know Him, to receive that revelation. And then we can, by His grace, and it's still going to be Him doing it, we reveal it. Not us, but Him in us and through us. No problem with the revelation of the greater works, because it's Him doing it. And because God has put that in our hearts, hasn't He? We receive it because God has put it in our hearts. So this is the difference. People can talk all they like about their legal standing. Even those with a charismatic experience. And this is the sad bit. By receiving the Holy Spirit, they've received that confirmation, but because they're not taking the next step of taking up the cross, because of not receiving the Holy Spirit as a threshold experience, they've stopped at Pentecost and they cannot go any further. They will not experience their sonship. And that's what frustrates them. They know there's more, and yet there's such a complacency. The foolish virgins falling asleep because they've deceived themselves into believing, because they don't want to pay the price that they've achieved God's ultimate by speaking in tongues. And that's only the beginning, not the ultimate. The cross will bring us into maturity. Fully surrendering, yielding ourselves completely to the Spirit will bring us into sonship. And friends, it doesn't matter about your... Now, let me say it as it is. It doesn't matter about 100% attendance at Full Gospel Assembly, all your years, hours every day in the Word and prayer, if we haven't fully submitted ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we are not going to be revealed as sons to groaning creation. Out of Gideon's army, it was less than 1%. Joseph, out of one out of the 12, two out of the million, Joshua and Caleb. Very few, very, very, very few are going to go forth and deliver groaning creation, or be used by God to deliver groaning creation. Why? Because only that many, very, very few, are willing to pay the price. And yes, I include myself in that. And I tremble when I hear it. Because the five wise only know that they've done their homework when the shout goes out and they go to trim their lamps and they've got the oil. The five foolish haven't. But all ten slumbered and slept. So how do we know that we've got enough oil? How do we know that the oil, the extra vessel, is there for when the shout goes out, and it will very soon? Well, we don't accept by faith. Sonship faith. Are we spending that time in the Father's presence, getting to know him, being before him, allowing him to give us this revelation? Are we developing a holy life? Are we seeing the cross work maturity in our lives? Every family knows, because every family's got one, somebody that refuses to grow up. They may be 25, but they're still behaving like they were when they were 7 or 8. You know, throwing their toys out the pram because they can't get their own way. Some people never change, do they? You stop them from getting their way, whether they're 50, 60, 80 or 100, and they will still throw those toys out of their pram, because they have not got their own way. And so it is in the body of Christ. Until the cross has put self to death and matured us as disciples, matured us in Christ to be Christ-like, we're still going to throw a paddy because God won't let us have our own way. I don't want to go through this trial tonight. No, I wanted to go somewhere. I wanted to go out tonight. And here I am with a trial that means I've got to stay in and pray. You know? I've got to stay in and seek you now. Well, you know, have we got the vision of sonship? Have we got the vision that God is raising up sons who will mature in the faith, that he can use with that authority and anointing to deliver groaning creation? Have we got that, or are we just, what is this? Are we just being religious when it suits us? This is what we're coming to. And it's the trials that reveal it. Now you say to me, well, I'm in trouble then, because I have real problems disciplining myself in the Word and prayer, and I'm failing in trials. I'm really in trouble by what you've just said. Okay, so am I. In all honesty, so am I. What are we doing about it? Are we thinking, oh no, I'm in real trouble, what's the point? Or are we saying, Lord, here am I, you know my heart, you know my difficulty, you know what I'm going through, but here am I, I'm in your presence now, you know my heart, I want to get this area right, I take this seriously, but I cannot do it in my own strength. And we then spend that time in praise, in worship, in God's presence. We consecrate that time, whatever the result,
if it takes a week, a month, a year, but each day we're before the Lord in that time. And yeah, okay. You think the preacher has it easy? I don't want to discourage you. See, there's always a danger if the preacher opens up, you think, well, if he's going through that, what hope have I? You know? But don't think that. Think, well, praise God, we're all in the same boat, okay? Think there is hope, because believe me, there is hope. Praise God. But I've had to seek God in that way. And I'm still learning. And you come to a place, or I came to a place, an absolute, I just don't want to know anymore. It's the flesh. And God said, gave me that scripture in Romans 16, that the God of peace will bruise Satan under my feet shortly. And the hope revived. The faith quit. I thought, thank you, Lord. Yes, the enemy is attacking me. And I began to prepare for this message. I thought, now I know why. It came as a revelation. The frustration, friends, came because of this. I couldn't quite see. I knew it, and Kim, bless his heart, for years has been two or three times trying to help me out with it. But I couldn't see it. God had to show me. Hidden. All the fussing and fighting and trying to break through the womb and the membrane and break the prison walls, it isn't going to happen until the time appointed of the Father. We are hidden. Even by from charismatics, because we're told in 1 John, I mean, friends, really, you think, well, why has it taken us so long to see it? First John chapter 3, the first few verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed. You know, what is this love that the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children or sons of God? Therefore the world does not know us, because it didn't know him. Makes sense, doesn't it? Point is, a lot of charismatics don't know us, because they've not understood the purpose for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sonship. Them and their Ishmaels. Ishmael always persecuted Isaac. And they and their Ishmaels, their fleshly zeal, their good ideas, are going to persecute us, the sons of promise. Beloved, now we are sons of God. And it has not yet been revealed. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, the Son, the unique Son, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. There's your holiness. There's your getting before God. Whatever the problem, whatever the hindrance, that's why we're getting before him. If we ourselves do not fully see, how can we expect anyone else to? And we have received that Spirit. We've received the revelation of sonship, or the message at least. So we're waiting for that experience, that yet future event, that as we are manifested, as we are unveiled as sons, we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. Praise God in every way. In every way, glorified body. At that point, caught away, glorified. Because flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom, but the sons will be joint heirs in the kingdom, ruling and reigning with Christ. So the blood, that the new will take on a new body. There'll be no blood, no flesh and blood in us. It'll be like a glorified body of light. No obstacles, no earthly obstacle will ever stop us moving freely in that realm. See, what is it about authority that's significant? Freedom to move. A divine authority that has given us freedom to move both realms, in the heavenlies and on earth. Taking what belongs to us that Satan at the moment has usurped. Ministering to the woman that full deliverance as she goes through the great tribulation. our brothers and sisters that didn't pay the price. Complete deliverance so that they too can then inherit the kingdom. That's the sons of God arising, doing those greater works under that anointing. That's your apostolic ministry. So whatever we're doing, do with the attitude of sons, of sonship. You say, well, what about evangelism? Well, there's going to be no evangelism like the evangelism that takes place during Great Tribulation through the ministry of the glorified sons. I'm not saying that what's happening now, I'm leaving that with God. The follower, the day will, Paul said, see, I've got too much fear of God over this. Paul said the day will declare it in 1 Corinthians 3 when the fire falls. Let every man of God, let every servant stand or fall before God. God has given us a righteous discernment, but it's not for us to worry about it. If Christ is being preached and people are getting saved, thank God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank God. But my concern is, where are they in 5 years after that revival meeting? What is the quality? What is their understanding of salvation? Are they just becoming religious? Do they fall away? When I went to India, I heard that these prosperity people had come over promising them prosperity. In 6 months' time, if you give your heart to Jesus, if you join this group, there's brother so-and-so with his list, if you, you know, get counselled or whatever, in 6 months, your sons will have work, you'll be healed, you will no longer be out of a job. 6 months came and went, the job didn't appear, and they all fell away because the promise was not fulfilled. And yet, if you speak to those people who conducted those so-called revivals, they will tell you thousands got saved. Well, you know. So what is salvation? Well, we're being saved. Salvation is for sons. True, full redemption belongs to Israel, but they forsook their sonship. The early church, in the first century church, partly they began to experience it. But in fullness now, this latter-day church, the overcomers, as well as those, the overcomers of the first century church, I believe as well, will experience fully their sonship, being caught away and fulfilling every promise that God made to his sons. At the end of the day, in the final analysis, the promises were only made to overcomers. To those, what are overcomers? Jacob. To those who will hold on and press in. See, this is why I'm saying, consecrate whatever you can manage each day in prayer, holding on, regardless of what God has exposed. See, this is a spirit of the overcomer. Regardless of what God has exposed as a hindrance, you're going to get before him until he deals with it. God loves that. We could turn our back in despair, oh, well, what's the point, hindrance, I'll never make it. Or we could go running full, arms open, Abba Father, Daddy, that means Abba. My nephew and their kids came over from Israel. It was a real blessing. You know, the little tiny ones. Abba, Abba, calling him Abba. It's a real blessing. And the spirit within us, Abba Father. Abba Father, okay, so you've exposed the hindrance, but Abba, I'm still your son. Still your son, Daddy, Father, still your son. And as we wait on him, I refuse to let you go. Okay, you've exposed, but I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Until I get that change deep within my heart. Until you show me that sonship. And we're waiting on God. Because we've grasped the full realm of what it is to be a joint heir with Christ. Then when that's happened, see, that's truly seeking first the kingdom of God. Submitting to God in all things through our trials, letting him rule and reign in us and through us, regardless of what is being exposed in our life. I refuse to be kept out of your presence. Devil, you're a liar. You cannot condemn me. I'm not going to stay out of your presence. I don't care what you're accusing me because of what God has exposed. I'm being delivered of this. I am a son. And devil, you're a liar. Father, thank you. And we stay in his presence under the blood of Jesus until the Spirit drives that thing from us. And the other petty, silly little ho-hum things that we're going through, God will provide. All these things shall be added unto you if you seek first the kingdom. And our circumstances will change. Those prison doors are going to get flung wide open. We're going to be dressed and put in the presence of the King. And boy, are we going to know it. That anointing, that authority, that supernatural ministry, grown in creation, set free into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah. I've gone on longer than I intended. Thank you, Jesus. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. That's what's going to do it. Mm.